John chapter 13 and 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of the communion table. And I want to emphasize table, the communion table. John chapter 13 and then 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. And if you're glad to be here tonight, say amen. And it was a great service this morning. Amen. I tell you, that's what we live for. Services like this morning, the atmosphere, the excitement, the growth, the salvation of souls and freedom of the spirit. And we praise God for it. And it couldn't be done without you as our people and praying. And thank God for our pastor and thank God for all that he's doing. Amen. John chapter 13. Would you stand with me as I read the word of the Lord tonight? John chapter 13, verse 21 through 26. If you're there, say amen. And when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spoke. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. And Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then lied on Jesus' breast and said, Lord, is it I? Or it's who is it? And Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop, that's a piece of bread, when I have dipped it. And when he dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas. Very interesting. He gave it to Judas. He gave that piece of bread to Judas. I would like to sink into your ear, and I think my microphone's going in and out. So, Brother Blue, let's change horses real quick here. Let's go to the solid green here, and if you'll just give me a thumbs up. Amen. How's that sounding? All right. I don't want to get too loud now because I'm going to get hollering here in a minute. Amen. Praise God. Everybody hear me all right? Sounding good? Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I want to allude to this as we prepare to go to the Lord's table tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Read it out loud with me, everyone. Verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you, for as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Now, Father, tonight, thank you for inviting us to your table. Bless the preaching and the reading of your scripture and the preaching of your word. May I decrease, may you increase, and we'll give you the praise. And everybody said, amen. Turn around and tell somebody I'm blessed and highly favored, and you may be seated tonight. The communion table. There's something special about a table. Something special about being invited to dine with someone. When the disciples were scattered, and the disciples had been depressed, and some had even gone back, not sure what they were going to do, Jesus stood on the shores and said these words, come and dine. Say that with me. Come and dine. Tonight I'm here to tell you, you may be wayward. You may have fallen. You may have fell. You may have lost your hope and your dreams. But there stands one here at the table tonight, the communion table, and says to you that are broken, you that are shattered, you that need healing and touch and deliverance, you who feel rejected and abandoned by others, you who have been disappointed, you who have fear, you who are facing whatever, come and dine. Say that with me. Come and dine. The master calleth, come and dine. He who fed the multitudes, turned the water into wine, to the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Give him a hand of praise tonight that he says, come and dine. Now, on the night of the crucifixion, Jesus sent out a very special invitation to his beloved disciples to spend that fateful evening at his table. And what a thought that salvation didn't begin with nails. The process of salvation didn't begin with the crucifixion or the scourging. Really, the events that led up to the crucifixion, the events that led up to the resurrection, started at a table. When Jesus called his disciples for the what we term as the Last Supper. You see, and we know who it was at the table. It was James and John and Peter. It was the 12 apostles, 12 disciples, and even Judas. And I want you to know something tonight, that there's something, that there's someone else who is invited at that table. I said there's Peter there. There's John there. James is there. I know that Bartholomew and all of the others are there, and Judas even is there. But there's someone else who was invited to that table that night. You want to know who it was? Turn around and tell somebody, it was you. Amen. It was you and it was me. That invitation extends to all of his disciples. That invitation does not expire. And just as they were invited to that table that night before he even died, before he even had nails in his hands, before the tomb was rolled away, it started at the table. And praise God, one day it's going to climax at the table, at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Come and dine, and you are invited. Give him a hand of praise here tonight. Amen. You've got a spot at the table. I said, you've got a spot at the table. The question is, will you come? Will you come to experience all that he has? That precious body that was broken. That blood that was spilled. There's a scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 18. There was a man who was expected at the table. There was a man who had a place at the table. It was King Saul, and because David had served him well, and David had been a help to him, King Saul reserved a place at the king's table. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God he was just a shepherd boy, and he was just left out by his brothers and even his own father, and yet God had his hand on his life and used him. And so the king said, others may forget you and others may not care for you, but you've got a place at the king's table. But look at what 1 Samuel 20 and 18 says. Then Jonathan said to David, tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be missed because thy seat will be empty. Oh, Jonathan was telling David, David, your place is set. David, you have a place there. And David, not only do you have a place there, but if you don't occupy that place, if you don't slide on up to that place, if you don't take your provided place, your prepared place, if you don't take the place of love and that place of honor and respect, David, you will be missed. Friend, I want you to know that David was going to be missed. And if we don't come to the Lord's table, I don't understand that. I'm a nobody just telling everybody about somebody. But I'm here to tell you that if I don't show up at the table, he's going to miss me and he's going to miss you. And you'll be missed if you don't show up at the table. How many of you tonight are going to show up at the table, the place he's prepared for you? Give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. Come on, give him a hand of praise tonight. I got a place at the table. Hallelujah, I got a place at the table. Ooh, I can't imagine Brother Philip and Sister Edna giving me a call, and I look at my caller ID, and it's Philip Pearson. And hello, Brother Philip. And Philip is saying, Brother Ricky, Sister Edna's cooked a meal. And you live not far away, and we got a place for you and Sister Darnell. You want to come? I can't imagine, unless there was something else that I absolutely had to be, or I was at work, I can't imagine saying, no, I don't think I'm going to come to your table. Man, it'd be an honor to sit at their table. It'd be an honor to sit at let's just say that Ann and Rudolph Taylor call me up and say, Brother Ricky, we got a place at Cracker Barrel, and I know you've been working hard. Will you come? We got a place. Man, thank God. God, I got a place. It's an honor to sit at the table of somebody's house, of somebody in a restaurant. It's an honor, and we'll be missed if we're not at the table. Did you know every Sunday morning there's a table spread? And boy, we miss you if you're not at the table. Amen. And there's some people, they're content. I'll be at the table this Sunday, but I'll be down at the beach the next two or three Sundays. Or I'll be up at the mountains. You know, we have an up and down church sometimes. People up in the mountains and down at the beach. Amen. That's the way a lot of churches are. But that's okay. That's okay. And there's room for vacation, rooms for being away. We have jobs and we have obligations, and we're not under the law. This is not a legalistic thing. You better be at church every time doors open, or else you're not who you need to be. That's legalism. That's not spirituality. Let's put it in, not legalism. Let's put it in the fact of this. There's a place at the table where you can feast upon the Lord. Can you say amen tonight? Four things about the table. It's a place of celebration. Celebration. You go to some churches and you would think it's the meal they eat right after the funeral service. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? I mean, nobody's happy, nobody's glad, and there's a few that try to make light of the atmosphere. But friend, this is a celebration. Amen. The communion table is celebration. We celebrate His life. We celebrate His death. But we celebrate His healing that He's promised to us. There's healing in the table. I'm going to talk about that a moment. His body was broken and bruised for our iniquities and the chastisement of, and with His stripes we are. There's forgiveness of sins at the table. There's provisions that He brings. Notice, listen to this. Go to John chapter 13 and verse 26. Notice that when they asked, "Who will betray you?" Jesus said, "Somebody at this table is going to betray me." And they started to say, "Is it me? Is it me? Who? Surely not me. Can't be me. You know, I'm perfect. I've been in Sunday school for 32 years. And I bless God, I've tithed. And certainly I would never." Okay, well, let's go to John 13 and verse 20. Jesus said, "He it is. He's the one that's going to betray me, to whom I shall give a sop." Now, that means bread in the water or wine. "When I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas. My goodness, that ought to bless your spirit. Because Judas was going to betray him. And notice, he puts bread in the wine. And he reaches his hand. And he hands that bread to Judas. And I can say, "Commander, would you come for live stream? I want to illustrate this. Would you mind coming, please, sir? Thank you." And Lord, I don't want to make you Judas, but we'll just do this for illustration purpose. But I'm going to do this in slow motion. I'm going to give you a piece of bread, and you're going to do what? Kind of take it in slow motion. Take it in slow motion. Put it up to there. Look at that. Now, let's do this again. I don't want you to miss this. I'm the Lord. He is, for the moment, Judas. We won't hold that against him. But I'm giving him a piece of bread, and he... Do you see what's happening? He took that piece of bread. Now, friend, let me tell you something. I don't want to give anybody my biscuit at Cracker Barrel that's going to stab me in the back. Would you? Would you give somebody a piece of your food and a place at the table that you know is going to stab you in the back, that's going to let you down? But let me tell you something. What Judas, in that moment, salvation was at his fingertips. The glory of God. Hey, thank you, Brother Commander. I want to tell you all of the provisions. Judas had it. Jesus was saying, "Judas, you want 30 little old pieces of silver? You want little 5 minutes of fame? Oh, but from my hands, you've got victory. From my hand, you have everything, every need supplied. Judas, here it is. Take it. Eat it. It's yours. You don't have to take the path that you're planning to take. Oh, thank God. It's from His hand, and His hand is reaching out and giving you your need. Reach out and grab it. You sure can have it. God's got a miracle for you." I wish you'd shout hallelujah tonight. God's got a miracle waiting for you. God's got a miracle waiting for you. Oh, reach out and grab it. Oh, I wish I had someone at Hammond. You sure can have it. I said, God's got a miracle for you. I said, reach out and grab it. Oh, you sure can have it. Oh, God's got a miracle for you. Oh, thank God at his table tonight. We've got a miracle. Reach out and touch the Lord. Amen, somebody. Celebrate that. Celebrate his hand. Celebrate his provision. You know, Jesus reaching out to Judas speaks that of, go to 1 John 4:19. Speaks to us of that great scripture that we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. You're not going to call anybody to your table that you haven't loved, thought about, and that you haven't prepared for. Now, can you imagine if Darnell says, come over and eat at our table, and when you get there, there ain't nothing on the table. It reminds me the first time I went to P.F. Chang's at Crabtree Valley in Raleigh. One of the nicest restaurants in probably you could go to. It was busy. We finally got a seat. I'd never been there. Very fancy restaurant. The waitress came and took our order. Took our tea order. She came back with some drinks. And we had waited there for several minutes. Surely the food was coming at any moment. We'd been there quite a while. And all of a sudden we saw her coming. She had two plates in her hand. Oh, this is time. Can't wait. And she came over there and she plopped on our table, no kidding, plopped in front of me and my wife two empty plates. And she started to walk away. I said, ma'am, was there supposed to be food on that plate? She laughed. The people next to us laughed. And what it was the plate that you would use to divide up the food, because the plate coming was going to have so much on it. But I'm like, sister, I've waited a long time and I'm tired of seeing dishes. I'm ready to see some food on that table. Amen. Give the Lord a praise tonight. He ain't going to plop some empty plate. We love him because he first loved us. Say that with me. We love him because he first loved us. One little girl, when Sunday school, she didn't quite get it right. She said, we hugged him because he first hugged us. This is a place of celebration. Celebrate that he loves you. Celebrate that everything comes from his hand. Celebrate, celebrate, celebrate. Not only is this a place of celebration, and every time we gather at his table, we should enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Not only, number one, is it celebration, but number two, coming to his table is contemplation. Contemplation. Because really, that's the DNA of the communion table. This do in remembrance of me. Say that with me. This do in remembrance of me. Because we forget. We forget. I'm told that a goldfish has a 3-second memory. Now, I've shared the story. You've heard it. I've mentioned it. It's powerful. Some of you haven't heard it. So, and I'll probably repeat it in the future because different ones come and go. But this fits so good right here about not forgetting. His table is a place of celebration, contemplation. One of the great preachers was Stephen Alford. And he tells of an event that took place when he was a child living in his missionary parents, with his missionary parents. He said that his parents had gone out to a prayer meeting that night. It was hot and humid, and he opened the windows to get some breeze. And as he was just there in his room, just kind of sitting there, minding his own business, suddenly a leopard jumped through the window and started prancing and then set itself, obviously aiming for his jugular vein, just waiting to strike and devour him. Stephen Alford was absolutely helpless. Nothing he could do. No escape. But just as the leopard was about to spring to attack, his pet dog took the leopard on and saved his life that night. And Stephen Alford wrote sometime later about that incident. He said, as long as it's been since that night, I have never been able to get over what my pet dog did for me on that night. Amen. And friend, don't ever get over forgetting the bruising. You see, we should have been bruised. We should have had the thorns in our head. We should have. It is us that should take the punishment eternally. World without end. Ageless, ceaseless. We should be forever confined to eternal punishment. Listen to this. For just one sin. One sin. It doesn't matter if it's 1,000 or 15,000. And that's really, even we can't count. But even just one sin, we should take the payment. And be honest with you, those who die without Christ, they will pay for their sins forever and forever, because there is no full payment of sin in the righteous justice of God. The only thing that can pay for our sins is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And don't ever forget it. Friend, don't ever forget it. Help us not to be a Pharisee and say, I'm such a good person. No, I constantly need to come to the table and remember that if it were not for the grace of God, there go I. But for the grace of God, I am what I am. I remember that I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Oh, hallelujah. I can't. You know what? Have you ever been lost and you turn this way and you turn that way and you get turned around and you just can't figure out how to get out of it? Have you ever been there? Come on. This was a world before GPS's. Come on. I mean, before GPS's, you could get lost in a heartbeat. Even now, on some of them, you can. You got to be careful. You got to update it. Let me just give you some Best Buy advice here. But let me tell you something. When you feel lost and then you're found, isn't it a wonderful feeling? Amen? Don't ever forget where He brought you from. Don't ever forget the pit from which you were dug. And the rock from which you were hewn. Beware lest when thou have eaten and to the plenty and art full, that you forget the Lord thy God that brought thee out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. We must never forget the good things and the answers to prayer. And if He doesn't do anything for you, just remember Calvary. Just remember the old rugged cross and don't forget it. Celebrate it. Contemplate it. Give Him a hand of praise tonight for what He did. Not only should there be celebration, contemplation, but number three, there should be consecration. Because there's a part in there about examining ourselves. Amen. One thing about coming to the table is do an inventory. Am I where I need to be with the Lord? Am I as committed today as I was yesterday? Am I up on my Bible reading? And if not, we all get busy. Examine myself and make a fresh commitment to get back into the Word of God. The pastor messed me up Wednesday night. I told my wife about it. And I had read the scripture many, many years, but I don't know why it just hit me Wednesday night. This past Wednesday night, ordained minister of the International Pentecost Holiness Church. And I'm sitting there and it just hit me. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Warren Wisby talks about, you know, walking and going along the way, and then you stand, and then next thing you know, you're plopping down. That's the downward progression. But the next scripture says that standeth in the way of sinners, sitteth in the seat of scornful. Blessed is the man, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Now here it is. And in His law doth He what? All right, stop right there. Thank you, sister. Say it again. Say it again. I'm going to tell you. And then the next scripture says that He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth His fruit in His season. And then the last part says, and whatever He does shall what? And I never tied it in. Now, this might not be for you, but this was for me. But I'm going to make it a habit of reading the Bible in the morning and at night, every single day. Because if I read that scripture right, if I meditate in the Word day and night, say it with me, day and night. If I meditate in the Word, so I read my Bible through. You read your Bible through. In a few, 1 or 2 days, we may get so busy. Well, I need to catch up about 5 chapters or 6 chapters. And that's not bad. That's not bad. I'm telling you, if you're doing that, that's fine. Don't do this because of what I've said. I'm just telling you, like Pastor said, a revelation in my spirit. Because, friend, if you do it God's way, you'll get God's, what God said. Amen. He said, I'm going to hold him to it. Lord, I'm going to hold you to it with all sincerity. I'm going to hold you to it because you, quite frankly, are pleased when we boldly ask. But Lord, I'm going to start something in my life where I read the Word of God in the morning and I read the Word of God in the evening every single day, because I want you to know something. When you do that, it will remind you, it will strengthen you, and whatever you do shall prosper. And I believe I'll prosper in the business, I'll prosper in the church, I'll prosper in the body, soul, and spirit. Now, if somebody wants to do it differently, and God blesses that, that's wonderful. This is not a legalistic thing. I'm just telling you, why not? And I don't know if I can read a chapter in the morning or 2 chapters in the evening. Brother, if you can read one scripture, and before you hit that door, if you can read one scripture before you close your eyes in bed and just meditate on it, I promise you, there's power in that discipline. There's power in that principle. And thank God for His Word. And let us meditate and let us contemplate. And let us celebrate and never forget what He's done for us. Give Him a hand of praise tonight. Amen. And consecrate. Consecrate. We examine ourselves. And there's a lot of people. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 27. And I'm going to bring this to a close here in about 35 minutes. I promise. The pastor preached a 30-minute, 15-minute sermon this morning. Amen. I'm just kidding. It was charged in the house. Charged in the house. It's just, look at verse 27. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27. If you're there, say amen. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup. Now watch this. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. We don't hear a lot of TV preachers preaching on that, do we? We don't have the fear of the Lord in America like we used to. And I'm not here to scare you. This is not a fear factor in the bad sense of the word. But I'm here to tell you, this is a reverence factor. This is a fear of the Lord factor. And I fear that I may lose my touch with God. I fear that I may lose the anointing on my life. I fear that I will get into a backsliding state and deny the Lord. Well, I won't ever do that. Ricky, you won't ever do that. Let me tell you, I haven't made it to heaven's shore yet. And I don't know what temptations say. Well, God will help you get through it. God will help me get through it. But I might not help myself to help God get through it. Can I get a witness out there? And I know some of you predestination, can't ever lose your salvation people. I know you're out there just gnawing and gnashing of teeth. But I'm here to tell you, friend, there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And I want you to know that I believe in eternal security, but I also believe that there is free will. And if I don't guard my heart, and if I don't make the decisions that keep me from sinning, I want you to know that I will be in danger of losing that precious gift of that blood and body of the Lord. Examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. You need to check up and pray up, and you need to stay close to the Lord, and you don't need to let things get in your life. You need to ever be praying, Lord, I want to continually be at your table, and I'll be missed if I'm not there. And oh God, I want to consecrate myself to you every day and in every way. Can you say amen? We don't want to lose, because Judas took that bread and left that table and went on his own. Judas, the Bible says, went to his own place. That's exactly what the scripture says. And my friend, I don't want to go to my own place. I want to go to God's place. Are y'all still out there? Are you scared yet? You need to be. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. The Bible says that if... Now notice here though, don't go to the extreme. There are some people that are like, I ain't coming to communion. This is in the old church, Pentecostal church. You would serve communion and there'd be people that would not take it. And you'd get to talking about, why don't you take communion? Well, I'm going to tell you, Pastor, I better not take it. You know, I really ain't where I need to be. And I'm really, there's some thing, you know, hold it here just a minute. Let me tell you something. It does not mean when you come to the communion table, it does not mean that you have to be perfect. That's the other side of this. Let me just put it in plain English. If you're sleeping around on your wife and come up to the communion table without repenting, you're on dangerous ground. Hello? If you are intentionally harboring unforgiveness in your heart when you should forgive people, and you come to the communion table, you're doing so to hurt your own self. Because what's going to happen on the day of judgment is God's going to see that unforgiveness. And yet he's going to point you back to when you took the very symbol of forgiveness and took it and did not turn around. You experienced it, but you did not turn around and extend it. That's what it means to drink unworthily. Amen. But if you come to the communion table saying, Lord, I recognize that I'm struggling in certain areas, and I want to be a better servant of yours, and I'm so sorry that I said some things to my wife the other day. I'm so sorry that I didn't fully engage the lost like I... Lord, that's the perfect candidate for the communion table. Amen. That's consecration. That's saying, Lord, folks, there's a sense of which none of us will be as near and as holy as we should be. But that's the power of his table. You're still welcome, even if you failed. Go back to my opening remarks. All of those disciples forsook him. All of them. Peter was out. He said, I'm going back fishing. They were all depressed because they had all forsook the Lord. But it was to those people he knew. Their hearts were hurting. He knew down inside they really wanted to serve the Lord, but all of their dreams were dashed. But it was to them that said, come and dine. Can you say amen? Thank God we can consecrate ourselves. Amen. By the way, just think about who was at the first communion table. Think about the guys that were there. Peter, he messed up bad, didn't he? Even Judas did the worst. Amen. So if those people were invited at the table, they certainly were not perfect. You and I are invited to the table with our struggles. Can you say amen? People say, I struggle with alcohol. We had a lady this morning in Connections lunch. She said, I've been alcohol free, but for many years I struggled with it. Let me tell you something. If you're struggling with alcohol, please come to the communion table. If you're struggling with other issues, I'm not going to name them. Don't come unrepentant. Come repenting. And I promise you, there's a place for you at the table. Give the Lord a hand of praise again tonight. Hallelujah. Thank God it's for me and for you. Amen. Research has revealed that if you drink grape juice, it contains a certain chemical that has been found to be preventative agents against cataracts. Did you know that? If you drink a lot of grape juice, it'll help prevent cataracts. I didn't realize that. And you know what? If you'll come to the table and drink his blood and the juice spiritually, it'll prevent your eyes from hardening. It'll allow you to continue to see what the Lord is doing and be open. In that scripture says, anoint thine eyes with eye salve that you may see and behold what the Lord is doing. Can you say amen? Our spiritual sight is renewed when we come to his table. If you believe it, say amen. And then I'm going to close with this. Not only is it a place of celebration, say amen. It's a place of contemplation, say amen. It's a place of consecration, say amen. Finally, it's a place of continuation. Jesus said, keep on doing this. Keep on doing this. Now, did you know that when the church started, they did communion every single Sunday? Every Sunday. Until it evolved into such a formalistic thing, the church about 500 years ago in the Reformation, they decided, some of them decided not to do it every Sunday because it was becoming a just by rote, no thought to it. Come church, take communion, go home. Come church, take communion, go home. And there was no changed lives. In fact, Jonathan Edwards, the great pastor of Northampton Church in Massachusetts, he told his congregation that don't take the communion unless you're truly saved. And he had a congregation of several hundred, and many of them say, well, I'm not saved, but I'm going to take the communion. And by the way, they fired him for it. But listen to me. Listen to me tonight. Some churches still do it every week. Should we do it every week? Maybe so. Maybe not. I don't really think the frequency of it was ever put in the scriptures. No scripture says every Sunday do it. Tradition is that they did it. But we Pentecostals, we have emphasized the Spirit, and we've emphasized tongues and sanctification. And we have, in our church, we've kind of done communion about once or twice a year. At least that much. Sometimes I knew Pastor W. A. Mills would do it once a quarter, where he pastored, just recently resigned. They would do it every quarter on the last Sunday night of the quarter. But really, there's no set way to do it. The only thing is this, just continue to do it. Did you know you can do it at home with your family? Did you know you can do it at the hospital room? Did you know pastors can take communion to those who are sick? It is the meal that heals. Did you know you could do it every day for a season if you wanted to? But the point is this, just continually come. Come to the table. From the cross to the clouds, we have an invitation at His table. It keeps us fresh. It reminds us of Calvary. It consecrates our life afresh and anew. And the question I have tonight is, will you come to the place at the table? Would you stand with me tonight? Brother Quentin, I'm sorry to put you on the spot. Do you play the keyboard? Can you play something softly while I give an altar call here? And let me make sure I've got it set for you. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Just play real soft. In fact, I'll let you know when to start, okay? All right, just hang tight. One final scripture, and then we're going to come to the Lord's table tonight. If I could have some ushers to move the communion table here to the middle, please, if you don't mind. Go to Luke chapter 24 and verse 30. Are y'all still out there? I got two yeses. Hey, y'all still out there? I got one more scripture. Luke chapter 24 and verse 35. Before you read it, I know you've done read it, but before you read it, these were two people on a road to Emmaus. They were discouraged. Jesus had been crucified, whom they loved and whom they followed. And it had been about 3 days, and they were walking down a lonely road. And all of a sudden, a stranger appears and begins to say, why are you so downcast, and what's wrong? And they look at him and said, have you not heard? The one we had hoped was the Messiah is dead and in the grave. And I'm going to make a long story short. They invited him to their house. And sitting at where? The table. This stranger began to go to the scriptures and say, must not Christ have been crucified and died? And the Bible says that as he spoke to them, their hearts began to be moved. In fact, it says their hearts burned within them. And he left them. But notice what it says. And they told what thing. And they went back to the disciples. And they gave the report. And they told what things were done. and how he was known of them when, church, in the breaking of bread. My goodness, lift your hands tonight, and he's going to be known in the breaking of bread. He becomes real to us at the communion table. He reveals his will. He reveals his love. I know we struggle. I know we're in life's weary land, and it's a weary place and a howling wasteland. But oh, we can know him. We can know him at the breaking of bread. Oh, children, come and dine. Come and dine tonight. The Master calleth, come and dine. Here's what I'd like for us to do tonight. Amen. Can I do it spontaneous like the Spirit leads tonight? Can I do it? I want to do it individually. I want to give you the elements individually. And I want you to start, Sister Darnell, I want you to start and come around this way, and I want y'all to go around that way. Can we do like a Jericho march? All right? Sister Darnell, lead off, Tom and Cricket and the rest of you. Just follow. And I'm going to serve you individually tonight. Just play or sing something, whatever the Lord leads you. Oh, thank you, Lord. You'll know him, Sister Darnell, at the breaking of bread. He's got a place for you, Sister Cricket, at the table. Brother Tom, you're healed and blessed. Oh, Brother Cody, he's forgiven every sin at the table. Brother Elam, your heart is fixed at his table. Hallelujah. Sister Brenda, your children are blessed at his table. Brother Bill, he's anointed you at the table. Sister Becky, he's going to meet every need. Oh, at the table. Oh, aren't you glad? Oh, thank God, Sister Duke at the table. Sister Patsy. Oh, Sister Ann. This is a new day, Sister. This is a new day for you and Brother Rudolph. Oh, my brother, there's a new beginning at the table. Oh, I believe that husband's going to be saved, Sister Quick, at the table. Come individually and find your seat again. Oh, my sister. Oh, Sister Tedder and Brother Bud. You've been at this table many times. Oh, there's a blessing. Pastor, the best is yet to come. At the table. Hallelujah. Pastor Nate, a fresh anointing. Oh, Trinity, he loves you at the table. Oh, Davon, he loves you at the table. Oh, I'm so glad to see you at the table. Don't let it be so long before you come to the table. Amen. Sister Dorothy, he's got something for you at the table, a new beginning. Oh, Sister Clara, you're in covenant with God at the table. Sister Renee, oh, he's got blessings for you. Sister Christine, take his blessings. Oh, my sister, take it. My brother, take it tonight. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, my sister. Oh, my brother, there's anointing. Oh, Sister First Lady, thank God that he's invited us to the table. Sister Edna, he's brought you to the table tonight. Brother Philip, you got to play. Now, Brother Philip and ushers, if you'll take it to our sound men up there. Oh, at the table. I just want you to hold that up tonight. In just a moment, we're going to partake of it. You want to sing something, brother, real quick while we've got it? Just go right ahead. Just something real. Get right ahead. Oh, yes, he does. Hold this up tonight. Take the bread. And hold the bread. His body was broken. And I believe that he will bring healing to any broken, sick body. I want you to take this bread and eat in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Sing it a little more, brother. Sing it a little more. Up, hold it up. We're at your table, Lord. For the forgiveness of sins, ask the Lord before you drink it, Father, forgive me of every sin. I examine my heart. Lord, I failed you many times, but right now I receive your forgiveness and your mercy. Take this cup and drink you all of it. Sing again, brother. He keeps on blessing me.
Said he keeps right on.
Yes, he does.
Bless me.
I'm blessed and highly favored.
He's right on.
Go ahead, Brother Quentin, and take your communion. We'll let you take a break right there. Lift your hands up to the Lord tonight and thank Him that from His hand we receive your blessings. From His hand, Lord, we receive your pardon. From His hand, Lord, we receive your favor tonight. Oh, we bless you tonight. We praise you tonight. Hallelujah. Brother, do victory is mine, if you don't mind. Victory is mine. Victory is today. We're going to close with victory tonight. Amen. Go right ahead, brother.
Victory is mine. Victory is mine.
Come on up. Finish out, sir.